good morning. I'm Michael Cathcart. Welcome to Books and Arts Daily. Today we journey into strange or forbidden territories. We explore the world of The Hobbit, from its origins in mythology to its current and very violent form on screen. A new exhibition at Sydney's Museum of Contemporary Art strides bravely into the dark zones of taboo. And first up, the Sydney Theatre Company's epic dramatisation of Kate Grenville's novel, The Secret River. It's good to be with you this morning on RN. Well, when Kate Blanchett and Andrew Upton took over the reins of the Sydney Theatre Company 3 years ago, their very first commission was a stage version of the 2005 novel The Secret River by the Australian author Kate Grenville. So it's taken a while to see the light of day, but now it's here, and The Secret River has opened the STC's 2013 season to standing ovations. People have gone absolutely wild. The epic production is directed by the wonderful Neil Armfield, and the reviews on the whole are rapturous. Reviewer Cassie Tung writes, "This might be the most important work STC produces this decade." Well, it's a story set in colonial New South Wales on the Hawkesbury River, and it's the story of white settlers and the local Darug people whose land the settlers were appropriating. Grenville's novel has been adapted for the stage by the award-winning scriptwriter Andrew Bevell, and he joined us on the line from his home, which is outside Adelaide. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Michael.
Nice to have you here. And joining us from Sydney is one of my favourite actors, Jeremy Sims, who plays Smasher Sullivan. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Michael.
Good to have you with us.
Thanks.
Now, before we talk, let's find out what the audiences think. Producer Regina Botros went along to a performance last week, and she got some reaction.
Can I ask you what you thought of the Secret River?
Brilliant. Is it? Absolutely stunning.
Have you read the novel?
Yes.
Hi, can I ask you what you thought about the show?
Oh, yes, I thought it was very, very good.
What's your name?
Jack.
And how old are you, Jack?
Oh, I'm 14.
How do you think the children went in there?
Oh, they were good, yeah, I liked them. I liked the way they tried to communicate. Yeah, it was really nice.
Thanks very much, Jack.
Thank you.
Hi, can I ask you about the show? What's your name?
Oh, Adrian.
Adrian, what did you think?
I was so moved. It was so emotional. Oh, I'm almost in tears now. Oh, fabulous, and I could relate to the area. I know the area, and it was just all absolutely fabulous. And you can hear the thing in my voice as I speak. It was just such a way of expressing what the time must have been like with the two people. The two peoples attempting to live together. But it was a tragedy.
What's your name?
Brian.
What was your favourite part in it?
Just the telling the Aboriginal side of the story.
The communication between them, or lack of?
Or the lack of, yeah. It was well done. And the music was all part of it too, and yeah, it was great. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, can I ask you about what you thought? What's your name?
Ebony.
And what did you think of the play?
I loved it. Loved it.
Well, what kind of feeling were you left with afterwards?
I'm a little bit blown away, I think. A bit of sadness. It was quite sad. Yeah, it was very powerful and very moving. But
did it leave you with that feeling of, oh, maybe something could have been different?
Definitely. I think a lot about it because I'm from the Kimberley of Western Australia, so I have a lot to do with Indigenous people, and I live in a tiny town, mostly Indigenous people, and I just think it's such a sad history that we have. Yeah. And the ignorance of, you know, these white fellas who come along and just think they know everything. It was just, it's amazing.
Oh, it was just so, it was brilliant and disturbing, and it really conjured up so much about the history of Australia, and so much, I think, from an Aboriginal perspective as well. But it's really sort of a meeting of two cultures where there's complete misunderstanding and everyone's terrified of each other.
Thank you. And your name?
Lindsay.
Lindsay, thank you very much again.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Hi, can I ask you what you thought of the production?
I'm still shaking. I thought it was remarkable, absolutely remarkable. I loved the book.
And your name?
Brian.
Brian, do you think it really portrayed the novels well?
Absolutely, yes. It seemed to me an incredible adaptation of a remarkable book. And the children, in fact, I cried a couple of times, but the first time I really cried was when little Dick started playing with the other two boys and they were sliding across the stage. There was just something there that really got to me.
Thank you so much, bye.
Well, that's an extraordinary endorsement, isn't it? Some audience reaction there after seeing the Sydney Theatre Company's production of The Secret River. Andrew Bevel, that's praise.
It is indeed. It was very moving to hear that. It was great.
And how did you become mixed up in all this? How did it come about?
Well, as you said, you know, this is a project that Kate and Andrew had been wanting to do ever since they took over the reins of the Sydney Theatre Company, and they'd brought Neil into the picture and Stephen Page, and together the four of them came to me at about 3-4 years ago and invited me to join them.
Neil, just explain, is Neil Armfield the director?
Yeah, and it took us all a long time to commit to the idea, Michael, because it was a much-loved novel. It is really difficult material. And so we talked about not doing it for a good 18 months before we have finally kind of sat down and said, no, okay, we're going to do this.
So what turned you around? Because I suppose one argument is it's a book, it works as a book, why turn it into something else?
Yeah, why go there when the book tells the story so beautifully? I think this is a really important story, and for me as a playwright, I'm always looking, for the theatre to be able to tell our important stories, both from the past and the present. So, in a way, it was one that I couldn't really say no to. And that history, that story, you know, it's something that I've thought a lot about over many years. So I just saw it as a wonderful opportunity, really, to go into that material.
Jeremy, for those of us who haven't read The Secret River, I mean, I have read The Secret River, but for those who haven't, perhaps you could just sketch out in the briefest detail what the setting is. Where are we?
Well, if you've read the book, the interesting thing, and I think Andrew, you know, can give himself probably more credit for the way that that group of artists have entered into telling the story, because what the play does is pick up the book kind of halfway through when they arrive on the Hawkesbury. And the remarkable thing that this production does is introduce us to the Aboriginal family. The clan, it gives them names, which the book doesn't have. It gives them personalities and lives. And so from a theatrical point of view, you get to see a family, as Sal says, that looks just like hers. And then the tragedy, you know, is a far different type of tragedy to the one you feel in the book, which is of these sort of ciphers in the distance that you know are doomed. In the play, you get to meet them. So when
the members of the audience there in those vox pops we heard felt that it was true to the book, you really are saying that it goes much further than the book.
I think it does. Yeah. Well, Andrew, that would be your experience, wouldn't it?
Well, it was certainly really important for us to find a way to bring the Darug point of view to the story. Kate, very beautifully in her novel, holds us at a distance to the people who were there, and so we see it very much through William Thornhill's eyes and through European eyes. But in a stage production, you're going to have actors on stage and they can't be silent. They've got to have a voice, they've got to have an attitude, they've got to have an opinion.
Andrew, Kate came in for some criticism. She didn't get much criticism for the book, but some of the criticism said that she should have tried to enter the minds of the Aborigines. And she always said that that would have been presumptuous. As a white writer, she wasn't going to presume to go there. You obviously didn't feel it was presumptuous, and as you've explained, you have to have a kind of mind-motivating action if you're going to put people on stage.
Yeah, look, it's a really hard line for a white creative team to cross. So if we were going to cross it, we knew that we needed Aboriginal people with us, you know, leading us there. And you can only really go back to that line through working with contemporary Aboriginal people who can show you the way. But it really gave a whole other dimension to the story and allowed an empathetic response to the Darug people.
This is Books and Arts Daily on RN, and we're looking at the Sydney Theatre Company's production of The Secret River, the novel by Kate Grenville, now on stage. The adaptation was done by Andrew Bevel, who's with us, and also actor Jeremy Sims, who plays Smasher Sullivan. He's a pretty unsavoury type. Jeremy, tell us about him.
I initially didn't really want to do it, to be honest. The last character of you know, as dark as him that I did was in a play called Festin, sort of 5 or 6 years ago for the Sydney Theatre Company, and I really struggled with doing 8 shows a week for 10 weeks of that guy. And this is a subject matter that's close to my heart, and I read a lot about, and I have a lot of friends in the Aboriginal community as well, so I was very wary about it. I knew the book, obviously, and I think, well, 2 things made me do it. One, Neil rang me up from London and said, "You're the only person that can play this role," which is always a very flattering thing to hear until you think about the role. And then it's not, yes, that flattering.
You're such a bad boy, Jeremy.
But the other thing was that I really didn't want to miss the opportunity to be involved in this production, full stop. I think it's, as Andrew says, it's such an important story and such an undertold, you know, underutilized theatrical story. I mean, in terms of tragedy, the great Greek tragedies have this sort of beating drum of travelling through them where the audience knows the outcome before they sit down, and they love to watch and to debate and to think about how that outcome comes about. And for them it was about gods and all kinds of kind of social taboos. But for us, the great untold story of our nation, of course, is this one, and how, you know, how we came to be here and on what terms we did it. And to be able to put that on stage, I mean, as I said to my partner, we never tell this story in the arts. Mm. And she, of course, said, "Well, we do, actually. You know, contemporary artists, you know, tell this story all the time. And it's told in lots of other fields, but in the narrative sense, on film, television and theatre, we haven't really told it. So mm-hmm. I'm really proud to be a part of it."
We often talk about history as though the object of history is to be heroic and to encourage national pride, whereas artists often will tell you, or will often talk as though tragedy is the most heightened form of storytelling. So we're negotiating a difference between what we want from a nationalistic history and what we want from arts, I guess.
I think self-knowledge comes from tragedy, you know, much more than it comes from telling the stories of heroic deeds. And to be perfectly frank, we don't have that many. But I certainly think it would help all of us to be able to think about this first moment. I mean, Smasher is a product of the British colonial empire, and he is from a class of people that have been forced to work from the age of 4, oppressed and beaten and whipped, and so his class of people that came out here, really, you know, my job in the play is to show the audience who these people were, and so to, in a weird way, engender some empathy for their plight. Before they then go on, you know, to commit these acts.
Now, you said you were reluctant to play the role. How are you coping with it? Because you've got to become this other person.
Yeah, look, I struggle. There's no doubt about it. I mean, all of us struggle. When we did the first sort of run-through of the play in the rehearsal room, you know, everyone was just in tears for you know, a good hour afterwards. And we were really... You know, there's a level to which, and I can't even comprehend the level to which, for instance, you know, well, the Aboriginal cast generally are often in a state of trauma, you know, through telling this story, because it is the basic traumatic incident at the baseline of all of their heritages. You know, this is only 4 or 5, 6 generations old for them. So it's a tough gig for them to tell this story 8 times a week, let alone for me to play Smasher. So I find it tough, but I'm getting through it, but I think it's tougher for them.
Mm. Andrew, you decided to use a narrator in this. Now, the common wisdom is that narrators get in the way. You know, the saying is show, not tell. So that was a big decision. Why did you decide to do that?
We were keen to find a way to retain Kate Grenville's voice in the work. I mean, any adaptation needs to step decisively away from the source material, but we wanted to retain a sense of Kate's voice. And so Dirribin, which is the name of the Hawkesbury River, the Darug name, was a device that we decided on very early to carry some of that language. Now, in the end, in fact, Dirribin found her own voice and became a very crucial dramatic technique and dramatic persona to drive the action forward, but also to sort of reflect from an Indigenous perspective on what was happening. So if you like, she's a conduit into the very world that previously, or that the book felt it couldn't go to.
Mm. Jeremy, how did Neil approach the rehearsal process, given that you were dealing with such traumatic material?
Neil has a long and brilliant and extraordinarily sort of sensitive and history of working with Indigenous artists in the theatre. He's been doing it at Belvoir for, God knows, 10, 15 years. You know, and every year of his season, there's at least one Aboriginal, not just, you know, about Aboriginal situations, but written by, starring, you know. So he has a really strong connection with the Indigenous community. I really think he's the only person that could have done this adaptation. I suspect that Neil knew what he wanted, you know, a lot more than he let on to us a little bit in the rehearsals. That might often be his way. But
you mean that he was going to push you further into the darkness than you knew you were going to have to go?
No, more that I think he had a good idea of how dramatically he wanted to solve some situations, and that he sort of, it was very important for him to allow us to find those things with him, because it's an intensely collaborative process, a rehearsal process. But, you know, I've worked with Neil a lot many years ago, and then it had a big gap and hadn't worked with him for a long time. And, you know, for what it's worth, I was really impressed, and I thought it was one of the most enjoyable rehearsal spaces I've ever been in. And we're very close, and we all feel very connected to the work because of the way he ran that space.
Andrew Bevell, as you were working on the adaptation, did you talk to Kate Grenville about this?
Yeah, I mean, Kate was very generous from the start and very clear that she wanted us to make it our own story. So she wasn't, you know, very interventionist at all. We certainly invited her along to the rehearsal room. She also confessed very early that she didn't like theatre much, which was a bit of a worry.
That's a downer.
Well, dear. But the more time she spent in the rehearsal room, the more intrigued she became. She certainly read the drafts at a certain stage and came back with some very minor historical details that she asked me to address. But never did she question the kind of direction or thrust of the work. And when she finally saw a run, she said to some of the cast, "I feel like I've been heard." So it's been, you know, a very kind of moving experience for her, I think.
Well, the audience response obviously endorses what you've done. Absolutely rapturous. Thank you to both of you for coming on the show.
Thanks, Michael.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Playwright Andrew Bevell. He adapted The Secret River for the stage in this STC production, and actor Jeremy Sims, who plays Smasher Sullivan. And The Secret River is on at the Sydney Theatre until the 9th of February, which is a big day because that's my birthday. The show then travels to the Perth Festival, playing at Her Majesty's Theatre from the 25th of February until the 2nd of March. And you'll find details on our website. On RN, this is Books and Arts Daily, where we now enter the Forbidden Zone.